our conversation basically started because of Steph Curry.
But getting back to that, because I'm starting to worry about watching this team that is the Golden State Warriors. I'm starting to worry about the rise of Steph Curry and whether or not it's hurting Golden State.
It's the future.
Down and distance. It's on WGNRadio.com.
Warriors can add to their lead now. Curry left wide open. Right between the eyes. And they love it on the bench.
He knocks down this three. And he tells the fans, I am back.
I'm back.
You back? You talking about back from Maddie and
no, that's what,
daddy duty?
No, that's what Steph said.
Oh, game four.
I'm back. I'm here. I'm back. See you, Steph.
Let me say this. Congratulations to Steph Curry, back to back.
First
valuable player.
First unanimous
Basketball Association. First unanimous in the history. A lot of Chicago people are upset about that because they felt like Michael Jordan, without a doubt, should have been a unanimous MVP. I think the transition of the way that things are done definitely has changed the ability of somebody, right? Because we've seen over time, you got closer to it with Shaq and others in the 90s and the early 2000s. And now you have a situation with the season that Stephen Curry had. There was really no way anyone. LeBron also got close to it. Frank Isola gave a vote to Carmelo.
I thought somebody
would have been the MVP.
I thought somebody was going to disrespect him and do the same thing this year. I mean, but
2012.
But you have to give credit though, right? I mean, you see who came in second and third, Kawhi Leonard. I mean, what he has meant and what he's done, and to me, a fantastic story. When you start really diving into what he's done to get to where he is right now, Defensive Player of the Year, also the way that he plays on both sides of the ball, it's spectacular. And then,
fabulous player. I made this statement jokingly on Twitter yesterday. LeBron ended up in third in MVP voting, and he really didn't even care. He played this season like he really didn't even care. I've seen LeBron have a chip on his shoulder wanting to prove that he's that guy.
But I think he's settled
and
in, don't
point,
you think?
At this point, he's like, man, I don't care about the MVP. But he still puts up the numbers he puts up.
Oh, yeah.
And he plays third.
I think LeBron has kind of set in to his career, you know, and where he is. You know, I listened to, and you brought this to my attention, listened to the interview with Dwight Howard on TNT with those guys.
Inside the NBA.
Yeah,
with Chuck and Kenny.
Yeah, and I was listening to what Chuck said to Dwight about how he wants him to be good and that he's on the back nine of his career.
Realize that.
Like, realize that you're on the back nine of your career. Like, regardless, when you look at LeBron and the years that he's put into this game and what he's meant to this game, like, no disrespect, I love Steph Curry and much respect to him. But Golden State still wins games, and we've seen it. I know they're different without Steph because Steph has that other gear. And everybody wants to say that he is that guy, the best player in the league. But, man, what LeBron means to the Cavs, though, and what LeBron means to whenever LeBron is – taken off of a team or put on a team, anytime you take him off a team that he's on, he still gets to the finals. Disrespect not. I mean, we can look at his record and say whatever we want about his record. You got to give him props, though, for all the haters out there. Whatever team he's on, they get to the finals.
He's the only, and it's funny, Colin Cowherd actually said this a couple of days ago. He might just be the most valuable player ever in the NBA. Safe to say right now, he's the only franchise changer in the NBA right now.
That's it.
Well, you automatically put him on any team in the league.
And they get to the finals. Any team.
Definitely considered a contender instantly.
But isn't that kind of, and not to take away from, you know, Kyrie, Kevin Love, and the supporting cast of the Cavs, but LeBron is one of these guys now where I feel like he's settling in, and everything that you talked about not wanting to have to win and be the best player, but he's trying to be the best player for his team. And I think now that he's realized that,
yeah,
I think that's what we're starting to see, because I still believe
the ego becomes minimal.
Yeah. I mean,
the older you get, the wiser you get.
It has to. I mean, we had this on the show the other day in our on sports feed in the social fodder about LeBron getting off the plane back in the land after they after the sweep, and he gets back and he gets into his Kia K900. And that showed me something about LeBron. This dude made 25 mil last year.
You about to go get one?
He's getting into the K900, the Kia. I see you in the Kia.
Probably up to.
It's probably
not
is.
The one you go get on the lot.
But and I read into that, and I know I read into it a lot, but it's just the fact that he's cool. He's cool about who he is. Most guys, honestly, Sean, I don't care how much money they're giving you. A lot of guys wouldn't be cool to get into the Kia.
I see. They do the commercial.
And he just gets
get
the
off
paper.
The plane.
Yeah.
They're getting into the Benz.
They're getting into the Benz
the
or the
Maserati,
Bentley or the whatever.
The Ferrari, the Porsche.
I think he's in a different place now. So, but our conversation basically started because of Steph Curry.
But getting back to that, that's a perfect segue. Because I'm starting to worry about watching this team that is the Golden State Warriors. I'm starting to worry about the rise of Steph Curry and whether or not it's hurting Golden State this year and in years to come.
Please, you got to explain.
You watch these games. There have been a ton of games this year. Well, this team has been Steph save us.
Yeah.
Steph save us. You get into a situation with an evenly matched team, possibly in the next round against Oklahoma City or San Antonio or Cleveland in the NBA Finals, and you get to a key situation and once again it's Steph save us. And I'm not talking about numbers, right? Because you can look at the game four where he came back, he scored 40 points, 17 consecutive in overtime, which is a record in itself. Draymond Green, his stats that night, almost a triple-double, 7 blocks, 4 steals. I mean, incredible.
Yeah.
Fill the stat sheet, right? Everybody else was just kind of – Dre's that guy that he's going to give you everything. He's going to be that utility
but
guy.
He does it – sometimes he does it
but let's
secretly.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest. Until Steph hit that switch
– things were looking
they
suspect.
Were in danger of being 2-2.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The, I'm going to say this. No disrespect. No disrespect. With the Portland Trailblazers.
No disrespect.
Who most of the analysts and most of NBA fans laughed at. Laughed at. Even with Steph Curry going down in game 4 against Houston. Most people laughed and said, ha, Golden State would take care of these guys without Steph. And Steph will be well rested. Steph had to come back to save them. That team was in trouble. That team was in trouble at home, game 2. Could have lost that game. Got blown out in game 3. Was in trouble in game 4. And here comes Steph to the rescue. The rise of Steph Curry, you have to be very worried if you're a Golden State fan. Because what surrounds him, April 27th, 2014. You know why that's important?
Why?
April 27th, 2014 is the first game Draymond Green was inserted into the lineup for Golden State. Since then... let's put it in the perspective of a series. Golden State has yet to lose 4 games in the 7-game stretch since he was inserted into the lineup. That's postseason and regular season.
Mm.
Now, most people say, but they didn't win a championship that year. That's right. But he was inserted halfway during that Clippers series. They only lost 2. You go back to the next start of the regular season. They have yet to lose 4-7. And that's what it takes to beat them. You have to beat them 4 times in a 7-game set. What I'm telling you, the rise of Steph Curry
could be the downfall.
I don't know, because we saw in the 2013-2014 playoffs against San Antonio and against the Clippers, we saw what Klay Thompson and Steph Curry can do.
Yes. Splash.
We saw the Splash Brothers burst onto the scene. What has taken them to the next level? No disrespect, is a cog by the name of Draymond Green.
I know. I mean,
he opens their abilities up to be able to reach the maximum output with the way that he plays the game, the way he spreads the floor, the defensive intensity that he brings to that team, because it was non-existent with just those two.
But I don't think that this is a secret, though. I think most people, they gloss over it just a little bit, but I think most people who actually truly watch basketball, watch the NBA,
watch the number one team in defense last year.
Was it them?
Yeah. First team win a title, number one in offense and defense. Had never been done before.
Mm.
Where's the defense this year?
It's not the same.
This team this year?
Yeah.
Is save us, Steph. They're playing with fire.
Well,
and I'm not saying that they can't win, because we've seen teams here in Chicago. The 98 championship was Save Us MJ against Utah. So,
but hold up, though.
He had help. I'm not saying he didn't have help.
He had help.
But there are a lot of key games.
He was going up. He was going up against some Hall of Famers. But Steph's got to go up against a pretty good dude that I feel like they're going to meet in a different team than they were last year. And I feel like they're going to have to go up against the Cavs. I still believe in my heart. I'm not changing what I thought. I still got the Cavs winning the title this year. I'm not getting away from it. I'm sorry.
Unless you're a Golden State fan, I can't see anybody outside of that circle having an issue with anybody seeing the Cavs being able to overtake Golden State. Objectively.
Objectively, yes. But
you can disagree, but you can't look at somebody and say, oh, you're crazy. You're out of your mind.
Dude, that dude LeBron last year almost willed his team. By himself, basically. No disrespect to J.R. Smith.
We're not comparing Steph.
No.
We're not comparing him to LeBron.
No, I'm not.
We're not discrediting what he's done.
No.
What we're pointing out is that the rise of Steph, and what we talked about this, Steph is one of those personalities that is tremendously arrogant, yes, likable. Yet likable.
Yes, that's what it is.
He's a jerk. He's an absolute jerk on the court.
Oh, yeah.
He's a jerk. Don't be fooled.
But he's,
please do not be fooled.
But I think
watch him during the game.
I watch him all the time.
He's a jerk on the court. He talks some of the most trash in the NBA.
But they love him.
But you love him.
You know why?
He's likable.
You know why he's likable? It's not just what he's doing. It's what he's doing on the court. It's also, I think, what he's done to open himself up off the court as well, why people love him as well. Family man, kids, wife. I mean, everything is like, it's almost too perfect.
Yeah.
You know? We'll see how this thing plays out, man.
Shout out to Riley.
Riley is the best. I got my eyes on you. I need that bag of money before this press conference is over. See what I'm saying? The girl is too real. Is that here? How we do it here on Down and Distance, Jared Payton, Sean Davis, SD2 Mics, at Payton Sun, PAYT1SUN. On Twitter, also for the podcast, DAD Pod. Follow us. It's WGNRadio.com. We were here. Now we're gone. Peace.